third chapter, verses 4 and 5. It's 1 John, the third chapter, 4 and 5. Whoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for the sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. May the Lord add a blessing for those that follow and do his will.
Amen. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. We'll say good evening. It's good for us to be here. God has called us today to worship him in spirit and in truth. And that is our intention, to do just the will of God. You know, when you think about the things that you do on a day-to-day basis, it's sometimes detrimental to the outcome of what we do or say, whether we leave something out or not. Sometimes we leave something out and it doesn't seem to be right. For whatever reason it is, you find people all over the world and they're leaving Christ out of their lives. But placing Christ at the center of every heart is the world's hope for true reconciliation. If we're going to be reconciled to God, Christ has to be at the center of everyone's heart. Because the answers to the world's problems lie in his rule, not the way we want to do things or not the powers that be. But the answer lies in the rule of Christ. The kingdom of Christ, the church, this body that we are a part of, that we've been blessed to be grafted into, it exists for the sole purpose of bringing reconciliation to this lost world. Reconciliation is what it's all about in our everyday life, in our spiritual life with God as well. It's about reconciliation. There was a magazine article some time ago that was titled, "Beware of the Crossless Gospel." And that article raised a question. When we talk about our faith, do you remember the heart of the matter? What is the heart of the matter? We talk about our faith all the time. The article suggests that churches and individuals have just lost sight of the cross of Jesus Christ. We see everything else, but we fail to see that cross. Christ is rarely mentioned sometimes when people seek to give a testimony about their lives. When they say such things as, you know, God has changed my life, and that's true, God has changed your life. God has given me a purpose for living. Yes, he has. And God has certainly given me peace. I've been praying for peace for a long time, and God has granted me peace. However, what Christ did on the cross is rarely mentioned in the lives of individuals. They fail to see the power of that cross that gives us reconciliation in all points of our lives. The cross is no longer becoming the central message of the gospel. It's ironic, though, because the cross is the only message of the gospel. And it should be at the center of every heart if we desire to have true reconciliation. Another message that exists that I find is that people focus on outside things instead of the things that are spiritual. And we leave Christ out of those things as well. There's a new age that's coming into being, and people are finding themselves looking at the world, not looking at Christ. The article suggests that persons are led to find a new way of living without bringing to them the realization that they are sinners. They want to call sin something else. They want to gloss it over. They don't want to realize that sin is just sin and right is just right. They don't understand the purpose of Christ dying on the cross was to remove their personal sin. Let me read to you 1 John chapter 3. Some folks just, they can't get this, and they leave Christ out. 1 John 3, in verse number 4, says these words, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins." Christ was manifested for the reason of taking away our sins, and in him was no sin. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth had not seen him, neither do you know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God, Jesus Christ, God's Son, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And people talk about everything in religion except the cross of Jesus Christ. He was manifested for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. You know, our lives have been just steeped in sin. And our lives are steeped in sin because we fail to see the cross of Jesus Christ in our lives every waking moment. We've got to see the cross of Christ in our lives. It brings us from a world of sin and darkness and translates us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we become a reflection of the light of God. And we become the light to those that are in darkness, that need to see that it was the cross, the cruel cross of Jesus Christ, that gives us life, that reconciles us back to God, for we were enemies of God and certainly headed for death. But Jesus Christ came at the crossroads, and he bore his own cross that we might not be the enemies of God. "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin." But I find that in churches all around, it's no longer the cross of Christ, the central message of the gospel. People want to talk about finances, and they want to talk about social events, and they want to talk about building a bigger building. They are everything except Jesus Christ. They have these wonderful messages, but they leave out the gospel. Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of that gospel. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. From the Jews first, even until the Greeks." They don't understand that the purpose of Christ dying on the cross was to remove their personal sin, to remove your sin and my sin, to take away the sins of the world. We need to be reminded of this. Otherwise, we may seek to give peace to people who don't know about a cross. We got to be reminded of the cross because we may seek to give people joy and happiness and a purpose for living as an example to follow without understanding why he died on that cross. You see, there's no hope without Christ. But people find hope in other things. They find themselves hopeful in a whole lot of things in their lives, hoping for things that are temporal, never for the things that are eternal. It's the cross of Christ that crosses over from death to life and gives us eternal life with God in heaven. Only the cross can do that. And we need to be reminded of this. We need to understand why Jesus died on that cross of Jesus Christ. Another message that exists that focuses on other things other than the cross is the message of traditionalism. You know, we speak of traditional, non-traditional worship services, and the message emphasizes doing things different just for the sake of doing them different. Let's just do something different. Let's just leave God out of it for a change. We can have a social club inside the church. It's different. Let's just do something different. Let's just leave Christ out of the mix. We can have a singing group in the church. Sit up front and start the song leading off. We can have this praise dancing team in the church. Aren't those kids cute? Just doing ballet in front of everybody, and we clapping and just having a good old time. And the cross is not even viewed. It's not even in sight. We do things just for the sake of doing them. Freedom in Christ for many only means that they have freedom to do a lot of things that are different. You know, over the past couple of decades, the church has sent its message on issues that divide rather than the cross that brings us together. Everybody wants to talk about the things that cause division in the church. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what we preach. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what we live. No longer is it me that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. And He lives in me simply because He went to a cross and He gave His life for my sin and for yours. But people tend to forget that when they start talking about the things that God has done for them in their lives, they never begin with the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ, His Son. I sure thank God that my light bill was paid temporary. I thank God that you know full well my leg was hurting me so bad, and I prayed to God and my leg isn't hurting anymore. Thank God for that. None of those things will get you eternal life. I thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Him. I thank God that He was willing to with joy in His heart, to come and die on a cruel cross of Calvary, that He might erase my sin, that He might give me life. Not issues that divide. We need to talk about the cross, because the issues are different in every congregation. But just like every other congregation, you know, you kind of make the issues the focal point of the church. And what good does it do us? When Christ comes back, will He find any that's faithful? Will He find any that's doing His will? Will He find any that's telling the wonderful story of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Christ died for the sins of the world. And the message of the cross is about Jesus Christ giving us freedom from the bondage of sin. The message of the cross is about Jesus Christ giving us freedom for the purpose of striving to live above sin. And not just above sin, because He takes it away. Those of us that are Christians, He said, if you walk in the light, John says, as He's in the light, the precious blood of Christ continually cleanses you from your sins. You live above sin. You don't live on the outskirts of it. No. People who smoke for a long time and decide to stop smoking, and they find themselves disgusted with the smell of cigarette smoke. They can't even take the smell any longer. Why is that? Because they didn't smell it as long as they were smoking. You see, they got used to that smell. Got used to it. Sometimes we get used to the smell of sin, and when we walk away from sin, we ought to be repelled by it again. We ought to get used to the aroma of Jesus Christ then. And know that He changes our lives, and that the stench of sin is something that we don't even want to be around. He died to take away the stench of sin. He died to defeat the devil and all the things that he can do to us and against us. He died for the sins of the whole world. John chapter 11, verse number 49 says these words. Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, he spoke up. He said, "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you than one man to die for the people than for the whole nation to die. Let's just kill this one man. That's better for everybody." He did not say this on his own, but as a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. Not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. "We're going to just kill this one man and everything's going to be all right." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9. We talk about people who are living without the idea of a cross in their lives. They just leave Jesus out of everything. A crossless life is what they live. But the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, but we see Jesus, who's made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. We see Jesus tasting death for you and you and for me. We see him facing a cross, and we don't even want to pick up our own cross and bear the burdens that are just all around us. We don't understand it. We just have to pick it up and just give it to God. He says, give all your burdens to me. Give them to me. I've got that. I've been there and done that already. I know how to navigate it. We just can't see Jesus in that death on that cross. John chapter 1 and verse number 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, behold, it's the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the only way those sins were taken away was by that cruel cross of Calvary on that hill called Golgotha. Listen, the message of the cross becomes a moot point. It becomes moot because we just merely talking about salvation, and that's just it. That's not where it stops. Many people are going to focus on what Christ did for them on that cross. They're going to accept salvation. But they have to make an attempt to take up their cross and follow him as well. It doesn't just stop at salvation. It's a lifestyle. It's telling people about the Christ. It's showing people the nails in your hands and the marks in your side. It's showing people the trails that you've blazed, that you've come from a sinful life, and Christ has walked right with you, and he's redeemed you. He's given you rescue. It's telling people that we belong to God through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's telling people we belong to God because the Holy Spirit has written those things for us that we might know we're going to have eternal life. But the message of the cross is robbed of its power, and we fail to realize that the cross we carry for Christ, the cross we carry is also designed to absorb the pain of this angry world around us, to absorb the sin of those who sin against us. He says in Colossians 2, when he was nailed to the cross, he took away all the principalities, powers, rule, and authorities that were against us. He nailed all those things that you can build up against me, all those things I can build up against you, he nailed them to the cross. I need you to understand that the cross absorbs the pain that we go through. The cross absorbs the reproach. The cross absorbs all of the sin that we've ever committed in our lives. All we have to do as Christians is repent. All we have to do as those that are not Christians is repent. The pain is going to go away. The suffering is not going to go away. But the pain of the sin that's been causing us a life of sorrow, steeped in death, the cross absorbs that pain from an angry world, from a mob that seeks to kill us because we belong to God. It's a retaliation, you see, anger. Anger gives us a reason to retaliate, but the cross of Christ absorbs that anger. Every person's cross is designed to absorb that anger as well, and the misdeeds of others while we just seek to love them as Christ loved us. And we were talking about that in Friday night, we had a little Bible study on the side. We were talking about how Christ went to wash the feet of his disciples. And I can still see the towel on his shoulders as he washed the feet of his disciples. And in his humility, that the towel that he had even absorbed the sin of Judas, whom he knew was going to betray him, but he washed his feet anyway, because he knew he had a cross to bear, and he wanted to teach his disciples, listen, not only today, but way back in 2019, August 18th, We have got to take the towel and let the cross absorb the pain that we're facing. We've got to wash one another's feet so we can be just like Christ. We've got to die to sin. It can't be about us. It has to be about somebody else and their feet. Their feet. And if you can't wash their feet, do like Peter did. Lord, wash my whole body, would you? Wash everything I have. Let the towel of salvation just absorb my sin, make me clean. But that can't happen without the cross of Jesus Christ. Too many people live a crossless life. You don't understand the ramifications when he took that cross and set it in that hole on that earth. They don't understand the fact of Jesus saying, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw every man. I'm going to draw him unto me. The cross absorbs God's anger. Boy, did he ever. Did he make it good for us? Because we were enemies of God, and the cross took away the anger and the wrath of God from our lives. I want you to think about that for a second. Think about it. You might be mad with me, and there's nothing I can possibly do to take away your anger. You've got to get over that. Especially if I apologize to you for what I've done, you've got to get over that. But I know that you're not God, because see, what happens is it's hard to get over that as human beings because we have nothing to absorb that. God took his own medicine. He was mad and angry. We were his enemies, and Christ came and absorbed every bit of that pain and agony that we were causing God. And God was satisfied with his offering. And God forgets. That's the one thing that we will never, ever do. If we were a people that walked by the cross of Jesus Christ, we will never, ever forget the cross. But the sins are all forgotten. The sins that I can do against you, the sins you can do against me. We need to bury those things and move on in our lives. And let's be a people for God carrying our cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 says these words. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all of us are dead. And that he died for all, and that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which dies for them and rose again. We live for Christ. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yes, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things. They keep bringing them up then. Be gone. Everything in Christ from the cross on becomes spanking brand new. What about your attitude? Becomes spanking brand new. What about your behavior? Becomes spanking brand new. Your language becomes spanking brand new. Somebody said when I was growing up in Baptist church that you even walk differently. Could never figure that out, how to walk as a Christian. They used to say that all the time. And they used to have a lady walking the benches. And I said, oh, yeah, she's just the best Christian in the world. Foolishness. Foolishness. Let Christ and his cross change your walk. Because living for Christ is paramount. Not just living for yourself. It's not a selfish thing. Living for Christ is paramount to living for others. Paul teaches us that Christ died for all so that those who live in Christ should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. And this is the message, the cross of Christ that must penetrate a sinful world. Living for others takes our focus off of what we've been deprived of. It takes the focus off of us. And it lets us know that the cross is God's answer for a sinful world. The cross is God's answer for me in my life. The cross is God's answer to whatever it is that you might be going through. Here's what Paul chose to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He chose to spend his resources on God's people. It wasn't about him. He says, so I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. He says, if I love you more, will you love me less? Take up your cross in this evil world today, church. It's painful. It's just as painful as it was for the Lord, but we still take up that cross. However, the impact upon our world is still just as powerful. Try carrying your cross and see what difference it makes in your life. The cross is a central message for each and every one of us and for the world. It's the central message of baptism. Because baptism focuses our hearts on that cross. He says over there in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may abound? Why we just keep on sinning and placating God with the grace that he gives us? By no means we die to sin. Listen to Paul. He says we die to sin. How can we live in it anymore? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were crucified with Christ. We laid our sacrifice on that cross as well. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. New life. New life. The last command Christ gave on this earth was also concerning baptism. It's about the cross, you see. He said in Matthew chapter 28, he says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some still doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we dare not leave any of those out, because those three are one. One. Mark 16, 15, and 16. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news to all the creation. Let them know about the cross. And whoever believes that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised from the dead, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That those of us that are Christians, we've been baptized into Christ. The question is, do you believe that the cross has saved our very lives? Do you live your life as if the cross is the central heart of the gospel? It's what we need. It's who we are. We're good and dead because of the cross of Christ. You know, it's no accident that I find that the first gospel message was yielding 3,000 baptisms. When you take up your cross with Christ, that's where your walk begins. And it ends in death itself. It starts in life and it ends in death. So when Jesus took up his cross, he's asking us to do the same thing that he did. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. In his oppression and his affliction, he offered no defense at all. He met the anger of the mob that was crucifying him, and he pleaded with God to forgive them. He refused to retaliate. He gave up all things to become one of us, and yet he asked for nothing in return. Oh, what a wonderful cross that he bore. The answer to the world's problems lie in the rule of Christ. The answer to the world's problems lie in the cross of Jesus Christ and the reality of eternal life that the cross brings. And the kingdom of Christ exists for the sole purpose of bringing reconciliation to a lost world. You've got to decide when you speak about the things that God has done for you, whether you want to speak about the reconciliation that comes from God in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. God has given us a cross to bear. If you hadn't been bearing that cross, you repent of your sins. To let God know that, you know, I've been walking down the wrong road, Lord, and here I am, ready to turn my life around, ready to change, ready to be who you have called me to be. If we can help you to do that today, why don't you come? We stand and sing God's invitation song.